Amen. Thank you, Heather. That was a great song and a great message in that song. Hello, everyone. We're off to a start of a busy summer, I'm sure. It's going to be a great summer. I'm not sure if it's ever going to stop blowing, though. You know, it's just, it seems like we've had so much wind, but certainly it's a blessing to be living right where we are here in California. Today, I want to begin a brand new series entitled, What's So Amazing About Grace? You know, if you've grown up in church or you've probably heard, or maybe even if you went casually, you probably heard people talk about grace. And we think of grace typically as that which, when we call upon Jesus, that we are, the Bible says, we are saved by grace. But is that all there is to grace? Is grace just that we call upon Jesus, ask Him to be our Savior, and He saves us by His grace? Or is there more to that? I mean, do you realize that grace, once we understand it biblically, it can revolutionize how we live our Christian life? Because sometimes I think of the fact we think grace was only good back then when we called upon Jesus. But can I remind you today that God gives us His grace every day? But what is grace? I mean, we think about it. Let's see, Ron, is this working? Or is Edgar? It's not working. Okay, here we go. What is grace? Well, grace gives you and I the freedom. Next slide, please. Gives you the freedom to know God and relieves your fears and strengthens your relationships. That's what grace does. I mean, grace brings joy to our lives. Grace gives us a better understanding of the greatness of God in our life. In fact, for this whole series, I want to kind of give us a clue in on one phrase that I hope all of us could get, and that is an understanding of grace relieves us of guilt and shame. So we can be free to enjoy our relationship with God and with others. That's very important. Because a lot of people, the reason why they don't come to church is because they feel guilty. And a lot of reason why people don't come to God is because they feel guilty. And the reason why that people feel guilty is because they don't understand grace. They don't understand what grace is about and how that when we call upon Jesus, that God exercises His grace, but that also when we get up this morning, that God gives us His grace. People confuse what grace is. They think of grace as a prayer before a meal. That's what many people think. That, you know, go ahead and say your grace. Some think of grace as that which we earn. You know, if God's going to be good to us, we got to kind of earn it because we got to be good too. That's just kind of how we see it. In other words, if I'm a good person, God will be gracious to me. That's how oftentimes we operate with God. Paul Zahn said this, grace is unconditional love toward a person who does not deserve it. Isn't that true? That's what grace is. You know, it's just realizing that when we think of it that way, we define what it is, we realize that we can't earn it. Here might be a good definition, another definition. How about this? Grace is free, unmerited favor given to us by God for our salvation and daily blessings we receive. Do you know that this morning you receive God's grace? Do you realize that every day that God shows His love to us by His grace every day? One man said it this way, grace would be God's love in action towards man who merited the opposite of that. It is only when we recognize the fact that God's grace comes in His daily provision and His daily protection, and in how God looks after us and cares for us every day. But quite frankly, grace is very difficult to understand. And here's why. How many of you grew up in a home where you were told that you were to do chores? How many of you grew up in a place like, okay, I did. And you know how it works, that if you do chores, and you had certain chores you had to do, and by the way, I feel really bad for people who grew up in a home where they didn't learn chores. But you do chores, and then because you do chores, then what happens is, at the end of the time period, whatever your parents might say, whether it would be a week or 2 weeks, then you get paid for your chores. Because and then the idea is that when you work hard, do your chores, do what you're supposed to do, you do good, then you get payment for that. When you get paid for that, then you can use that to enjoy something that's important to you. But then as you get older and become a teenager, someone along the way teaches you this motto that our world has: there's no such thing as a free lunch. Anyone ever heard of something like that? You ever heard that? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Really? No such thing as a free lunch. You see, because of this system of doing something to get something good, we start evaluating. If it's free, it must not be worth much. We start thinking like that. Well, if I get that, it must not be worth a whole lot. And so we struggle with this. Okay, well, we have grace in the Bible, and God's working with us after grace, and in our world we're working to do these things, and this is kind of the world that we live in. And how does this all come together? God very clearly teaches us in the scriptures how it works. But I want us to understand that it is not natural for us to operate on the basis of grace. That's supernatural. So let's take our Bibles and turn, if you would, with me to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Because here in this passage, we find that mankind has now come together for one united purpose. Now, keep in mind that God had already dealt with man after grace. In fact, God has already laid out that when he deals with man based on grace. Even when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, God dealt with them after grace. But somewhere along the way, man chose to ignore grace and try to do it their own way. This is the passage we find where man is trying to reach heaven on his own. And notice what the Bible says. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. They were going to build a tower to get to heaven. A tower that will reach all the way up so that if man wanted to go to heaven, he could climb up this tower. Really? Why? Why would man want to climb up a tower to get to heaven when God has already given his grace? And God saw all this. And God reacted in verse number 8 of the same passage. The Bible said, "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the whole earth, and they left off to build the city." Let me remind you this morning that human effort cannot reach heaven. You didn't realize that you can't build a tower to get to heaven. Because if you could, if a man could build a tower and get to heaven on his own, man would get the credit and not God. And God said, "That's not why I put you here. That is, it's not about us going to heaven by doing good things to get there." Even though maybe the concept in our earth is working for it, God says, "That's not how we get there." And people say, "Well, it seems kind of cheap then to go to heaven by grace." But can I make you well aware of the fact it wasn't cheap, because Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for every one of us. That was the payment. But what grace is about is it's not about us earning God's acceptance and earning God's love and earning God's goodness to us. It's about the fact that you can't earn it. Now, the Tower of Babel is an example of man trying to reach it man's way. And God says, "No, I've already given you grace." Grace is the operation in which God works in my life and in your life for acceptance and love and his work. But when we move to chapter 12 in Genesis, and I'm going to really take you over to Romans chapter 4, if you would please. We're introduced to a man by the name of Abraham. He was called Abram in Genesis chapter 12, and we read about his life in Genesis 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. We read about the man named Abraham. In the book of Romans, Paul introduces us to Abraham's life. And he explains what those chapters are telling us. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1, would you look at it with me, please? Here's what Paul says. "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Now here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying Abraham was a great man. I mean, he was fantastic. He was the guy, kind of guy everybody admired greatly. In fact, he was just a guy that would probably today be rewarded the Nobel Peace Prize. They might even build a building and named it after him. That was Abraham. He did a lot of good things. We don't know all that he did, but according to what Paul says is, according to the flesh, he did a lot of great things. Maybe he fed his neighbors. Maybe he gave to the poor. He might even been one of the guys that, you know, if you ever need anything, you go to Abraham, he'll take care of you. He was a great guy. But here's what the Bible says. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." In other words, if there was a way, and we'll look at that word justified in just a moment, but if there's a way in which we would say, well, man, he if anybody deserves to go to heaven? It's Abraham. I mean, he was the man. And here's what God says. Before God, all of his righteousness is as filthy rags, just as ours is. But what does it mean then when we read on? Because here's where we begin to understand what grace is. Because the idea of being justified means that we are declared or counted as righteous in God's eyes. And the Bible goes on and he speaks of the fact that Abraham was not justified because of his works, but because of his faith. I think verse 3 through, maybe let's move on. It says, "For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Here's what God says. God says, you know what? Abraham is forgiven. I'm going to declare him righteous because he believed. He believed. Not because of his good things that he did, but because he believed and God said, he's righteous. I'm declaring him righteous. But let's read on because this kind of sounds a little complicated. No, it says, "To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, when we talk about this, here's what God is saying. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but if you try as hard as you want to do good, you can't. Have any of you ever had struggle like me? I said, you know, I'm going to always do this right. I'm going to always do this. And the first 2 days it works, but by the third day I fail. I mean, you ever have something like that happen? We've all been like that. You know, we've all thought, you know, man, if I could just do some, you know, and so what happened? And in fact, not only that, but have you ever had this happen? When you try to do good, you actually do worse than you do good. Ever had that happen? Kind of reminds me of kids. You know, when kids, they want to help, but they do worse at helping. You say, the biggest help you can do is leave me alone. Have a video? Let's watch this video. Maybe we can understand this kid's front.
What are
this
you making?
Mouthful.
Chocolate chips?
What did you do to me?
You know, that's kind of how kids are, don't they? That's a patient mom, by the way, wouldn't you think? I'm not so sure I'd have been as patient to sit there and say, what are you doing? I think I'd say, what are you doing? Put it away. But the bottom line is this. Sometimes in our life, and that's what the scripture is saying here, in our life, we're trying to make God happy, and we keep messing up all the time. And here's what God says. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for that. It says, but to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of debt. The idea is, I can't put what you're doing and all your works and all of your good things and all the stuff that you think is so great. I can't put on your account as being righteous. I only can put on your account as you owe more. Because the chapter is driving home the fact that in our world that we realize that we are not declared righteous by good works, but by grace. Faith in the Lord Jesus. You see, when Abraham believed on God, God credited Abraham righteousness by his grace. Abraham received what he did not deserve and could never earn. And by the way, today, those of us who are believers in Jesus, Do you realize that's exactly where we are? We receive what we could not deserve, what we did not deserve and could ever earn. For by grace, the Bible says. But now, it's so different how our world sees it. It's just so different. I mean, it's confusing. Let's suppose, now, how many of you get paid once every 2 weeks? Let me see your hands. How many get paid once every 2 weeks? Okay. Let's take you. We'll use you as an example. Let's suppose that next week is your payday. Okay? You're going to go in, and you're going to go get your paycheck, and you walk in. Here's what you do. You walk into the HR, where we go get your paycheck. And I know most of you probably have direct deposits and all that kind of stuff. But let's just suppose that this time you're going to go and get your paycheck. And you go in, and here's what you do. You walk in, you go, you know, I just come to pick up my paycheck because I certainly don't deserve it. And they hand you the check and you say, you know, I didn't do anything to earn this, but thank you very much. It was very gracious of you to give this to me. The person behind the counter would think you lost your mind. What are you talking about? You earned it. You work for it. I mean, that's how it works. You know, that's how our world just operates. And now, Pastor, you're telling me that something is as good as being a Christian is that which you can't work for. It's only by grace. Is that what you're saying? Absolutely. The next chapter drives home that point. Look at Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans 5. Look at this verse. The Bible says, therefore, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have, what's that next word? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I said in the opening? That if we understand grace, we're going to understand that when we have grace and we start asking God to help us get this in our life, and this is what we're doing in these summer series, we want to capture what this is so that we can be relieved of the guilt and have the peace of God that the Bible speaks of. But notice it doesn't say you are justified by good works. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that we're justified by baptism or church membership or giving to the poor. In fact, here's what God says. I don't expect any payment for what you do. You don't keep earning God's favor. God says, you don't owe me anything. It's grace. Grace. And you know, it's because of grace. You know, and I still have a problem. I have a sin problem. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 speaks of that. But look at verse 18. Look what it says here. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By the way, who is the one that brought sin into this world? What's his name? Adam. God says that because of Adam, brought condemnation. All of mankind, all of us, we are sinners because of Adam, he sinned. But then read on. Notice what it says. Even so, by the righteousness of one, who's the righteousness of one? Who's that? Jesus. And then notice what it says next. The free gift came upon all men, by justification of life. In other words, here's what God says. God says, look, he says, you have condemnation because of Adam. You have this sin problem because of Adam. It's a problem, one man. But Jesus came and took care of that for us. And the only way that we can apply that then is by grace. That's what he says. Read the last part of that. Notice what it says. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Wow. Isn't that great to know that? Folks, isn't that wonderful to know that you can be forgiven because of Jesus Christ? It's not what we do, it's what's already been done for us. You might say it this way, the law did not come to offer us grace. It only came to show us we need grace. This means that when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, our sins are forgiven. We have a home in heaven. We are secured in Jesus Christ. That the Bible calls it grace and forgiveness offered through Him. And the law points us to His forgiveness because of who He is. Now, the law may tell us we can't do these things. Have you ever had this? You ever had this? Let's put up this next slide here. You ever seen that? Anyone ever been tempted to touch? Anyone? Let me go a step further. Any of you ever touched? Oh, yeah. I can't believe it's actually wet. Do you realize that that sign can't keep me from touching? Has no power to do that. And that's the way the law is. The law has no power to keep me from touching or doing or sinning. That's how the law is. And I'm speaking of the law of God here. That doesn't stop me. It doesn't have any power. But grace gives me the power to overcome my sin. It's grace. You see, God gives me His grace when I receive Jesus Christ. And that grace is given to us so that we can live for God. As we spend time with God and focus on God, He will work daily in our lives through grace. We're given the benefits of grace. This morning when I woke up, I looked out, saw the beautiful sunshine. I believe that's the grace of God. I see the sunrise and all the things that God gives to us. That's all of God's grace. He provides food. He gives me a place to come and worship Him. He gives me friends who love me and cares for me. He gives me the family that looks after me. All of that is God's grace. Every one of those things. So when we say, what is grace? We're talking about everything. The way God deals with us. Grace is seen in all of these matters. Forgiving and saving grace is available to everyone through Jesus Christ. I love what the psalmist says. Here's what he says. Listen to this. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to His iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. Wow. Can I be honest with you folks this morning? God broke my heart in this. To begin to realize how wonderful the grace of God is and how marvelous God's grace is. And next we're going to look at a picture of God's grace. And when I begin to realize, man, God loves me that much. His mercy is so great. His grace is all-encompassing in my life. How can we not love God? And when I sin, and by the way, I don't want to sin, but when I sin, God reminds me of the fact that when I'm living under grace, that God's forgiveness is there in His grace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul said this, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Believing grace is when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He is the gift of God. And God says, that is greater than my sin. Thank God for that. Ephesians 2 says it like this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's what God wants us to get. When we claim grace, only God can get the glory. See, if I do it myself, if I try to do it myself, number one is I can't do it myself. It's impossible. I can't build that tower to heaven on my own. My life can't reach heaven on my own. I need God's grace. But if I were to try, I would do it and I would stand there. Look at what I did. That's what Paul's saying. But when I say, no, it's all by grace, when I claim God's grace, then God gets all the glory for it. And grace will relieve me of my fear of my relationship with Him. You may not be a Christian yet today, but I'm thankful that you're here. Because I want you to know that the same God that exercises and gives us His grace, He gives it to every one of us. He offers you His life in grace freely. Sometimes people say, you know, I should get better to become a Christian. I've had people tell me that, you know, I just got to get better. And God says, no, you don't need to get better because you can't. You just need me and I'll help you to get better. The fact is that God loves us and offers to us His grace in Jesus Christ as Savior. Will you call upon Him today? Will you let Him be your personal Savior? And then secondly, if you're a Christian today, you don't have to live under the guilt. You don't have to live under the guilt and shame because you've been forgiven. If you know Jesus, you've been forgiven by His grace. But certainly, we want to be in our fellowship with God, in relationship with God, in our fellowship with God. But God says that your home in heaven is settled, that acceptance with Him is complete, and that you are already forgiven. But you can go to Him and He will take you just as you are. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are made righteous through Jesus. But grace will relieve us of our guilt and shame so we can enjoy that relationship and establish our relationship with God. Yes, our relationship with God. As we come to Him and realize that, Lord, you're my Savior. You're my Lord. And I know you've taken care of all this for me. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of anything in my life that's not right. But Lord, I just want to honor you. And God says, I will forgive you. Aren't you glad we have a God like that? What is grace? Grace is how God works in every one of us. We can't earn it. It's just the way God does. He loves you. Next week, we're going to look at a picture of what this is about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,